The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Best news possible for a fan base that took a rare body blow. Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. And when I say best news possible, that I can give you on March 12th. I'm talking about the Alabama fan base. Everybody gets their turn no matter who you are. Ohio State had a turn. They had a 6-6 season with Luke Fickell. And for them, that was their car crash. Everybody gets their car crash. Everybody gets their, if you ever played that Mike Tyson punch out game, body blow. Everybody gets the body blow at some point. It just is how many and how long does it last? And so for an Alabama fan, I don't know, Keely Ringo sort of qualified as a body blow. So that's where you lived. Dadgummit, we're SEC champs. And then it took until the final 2 minutes of the national championship game for us to realize, oh, we're not going to win the national championship. Like, that's what it was. Because I think they were down 8, I think. And so Bryce Young back there flinging to some receivers he wasn't, you know, overly acquainted with. I don't think they ever went to Milo's and hung out and had cheeseburgers. Maybe with some other guys, but probably not that far down the down the trough. Until Keely Ringo. And then, oh, body blow, and it was. For a TCU fam, that national championship game, that wasn't fun in any way. And if you go back and look, even they made their one big play of the night, that big pass down the far sideline, I guess, and then turned it into a touchdown. And so they made plays, and they had good quarterback, and they had everything else you needed there. But that big stud receiver they had was a Quentin Johnson. Was absolutely a non-factor in the entire game. And even Duggan, it was the one play. Point is that as bad as that just, I mean, that was getting dropped in a wood chipper. Body blow? Nah, it was unpleasant. Did you think you were going to win? You didn't think it would look like Florida State this year in the Orange Bowl? A Florida State fan, if he or she were being honest, yeah, this might get ugly tonight. You didn't necessarily think that from TCU, but it wasn't a crushing body blow sort of thing. For a Bama fan? Losing to Georgia? Yeah, it was. And so that just shows you exactly what had to happen. Oh, body blow for a Bama fan. For a Missouri fan, you're looking around going, is losing Blake Baker body blow? It takes less. It does. Go the other way. LSU, you lost a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. You got plans. You're not going to be better because of it. But you got plans. You got a way to get over it. Just shows you where the program is. Everybody's body blow, a little different. Well, Nick Saban, I don't know, best, what I pick, whatever those words mean. Best, greatest, I don't know if he's most accomplished. Maybe somebody in 1AA won like 15 national titles or something. Eddie Robinson won like way, way, way more games. So, I can't Amos Alonzo Stagg. He's on a bowl game. I can't tell you. And I don't know where he coached. Army? I'm supposed to know this. And I have known it at various times. I answered a Jeopardy question one time. But what do we really know about Newt Rockne? And we don't know those names. How good a coach was John Heisman? Maybe he just had good players. Nick Saban, he's right there with those guys who have trophies and all-time whatever foundations named after him. And then there's Nick Saban. That guy just quit. That's what qualifies for the Bama fan base. That's what qualifies as a body blow. You look at some other programs and even good ones and your coach leaves and you're like, hey, man, Texas A&M, Jimbo left. $75 million contract at 4 years into it, 18, 19, 20, 20, 3 years into it, turned into a new 10-year contract for $95 million. And then a few years down that road, you're like, yeah, you're fired. That's supposed to be a body blow. Texas A&M, where their program is, they're like, nah, we need something different. It's not working. Well, it was working in Tuscaloosa. And part of the reason it was working is because you had the greatest coach, best, most accomplished, modern day. His way worked more than any other coach in modern times. And I have heard, David Cutcliffe said to us, we were on with David live when? July, a year and a half ago? Almost 2 years now. College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta for SEC Media Days. And do you realize, when David Cutcliffe, I'm going to say this, and you go, Chuck, you're making that up. David Cutcliffe retired 3 years ago, and then Bruce Arians retired. Those were the last two active coaches who had coached for Bear Bryant. Bruce Arians had coached running backs for him in Bear's final season at Alabama. David Cutcliffe had been a GA there at Bama and then coached back in, 76 or so? Whatever. And so, those two guys, all these decades later, were still in the game. And then they both, and I'm done. And they retired and off. Done. So David Cutcliffe used a phrase to describe Bear Bryant that I'd heard. It's actually phrasing. Said he could take his and beat yarn. He could take yarn, beat his. And you throw another apostrophe and an N in there. But that's basically, he could show up with his roster and play you and win the game. Y'all could switch rosters. He'd take your team and then beat you coaching his players. Bear Bryant, his way worked. Now, I don't know the transformational X's and O's. In fact, the biggest thing he gets credit for on that is when he kind of looked at USC and was like, yeah, let's do some of that. Wasn't really an X's and O's sort of thing there. And so Bear Bryant, I don't know what he knew it. Tom Landry invented things that never existed. I don't know what Bear Bryant did there. He's a really good coach. Motivated kids. Yeah, everybody played hard. They'd bleed and, die for him. And he got the best players and more of them. And so that's a pretty wicked brew when you're an Alabama opponent. And they got a great coach and better players and more of them. And so there you roll. So against that backdrop, Nick Saban achieved more. It took that guy quitting to be a body blow for the Alabama fan base. You realize Bryce Young, they had lost a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that was good enough to be the first overall pick for a franchise that was desperate for a turnaround. That's how good Bryce Young was. Alabama fans are like, yeah, we might be okay there. Because we had just replaced Tua, who was the sixth overall pick or whatever, eighth? And we're good. And before that, we placed Jalen, who's second-round pick, who started a Super Bowl and got a $250-something million contract. We're good. So this is a program that is used to, devastating things. You lose a running back like Darren McFadden at Arkansas, you're looking around going, well, we won't have him again. Talked about it. Nick Saban and Bama chose to finish an Iron Bowl. Derrick Henry, I think it was 17 straight, the final 17 snaps of the game. Derrick Henry, off tackle, off tackle, off tackle, off tackle, 17 straight plays. And Derrick Henry's off to the NFL. Alabama and their fan base, next. They don't take body blows very much. And so the best news possible that I can give you on March 12th, same thing I've talked about going on at LSU right now. They're doing it old school, folks. It's recruiting, and it's high school kids from in-state. We are 30 and a couple days away from a brand new portal period. And that, of course, is where you get people with, you know, full beards and families. And, like, on Saturdays, you look up and there's, like, a two-year-old wearing a button that says, my dad is number 72. That's where you go to Colorado State and say, huh, weak side guard. So that's coming. I'm going Old Testament. Recruiting high school kids in state. Best news possible for LSU fans. The lasting legacy of Ed Orgeron is, he said it, and everybody said, Larry Fedora said it, we're going to build a fence around our home state. I was like, hey, coach in North Carolina, I don't know if that's going to happen. But everybody says it. You have to. The only reason you don't say it is because you're somebody like Kirby, and you're like, well, we got too many players, I don't have enough scholarships. But also, I don't know if I want all the kids from Georgia. I want to go to Texas and Arizona and Nevada. So those are the exceptions. But for the most part, every coach, we're going to build a fence. And so Ed Orgeron, we're going to build a fence around Louisiana, and we're going to make Bama pay for it. So I'll be darned if he certainly didn't, like, drop a cinder block on the scales. And Brian Kelly has kept that thing rolling. And we've talked about that. And they're out of state as well. They're down in Mobile sniffing around a guard who may commit there or may have already or wants to or something. He visited. Had the big junior day thing. Well, that's just, they had the number one quarterback for next year, number one running back for next year, number one wide receiver for next year, number one D tackle maybe for next year. Like, they're just rolling. And a lot of that's us in state in Louisiana. Guess what? It's a really good state. At Alabama, from the day Nick Saban said, palms up, uncle, from that day, kid said, I'm out. Was a four-star wide receiver, Jamie French, number 14 kid in America for next year. And he's not an in-state kid. He's from Jacksonville. But he decommitted, as did a lot of kids. And some of those kids were already there on scholarship, like Caleb Downs. Like, he'd already started and been all everything, and Caleb Downs like, yeah, I'm decommitting from the program now. Some other kids were sort of a more traditional, I'll say traditional, decommitment. Julian saying the only thing not because he was just a high school kid and I'm committed. Well, he had already signed and he'd already showed up and he was already like on campus. He's like, yeah, I'm saying out. See bus home. So that happened. I mean, Nick Saban, January 14th, Nick Saban, I'm quitting. Out, current players, future players, guys on campus who are about to be future, like all of every scenario you can. If I'm a football player, Tuscaloosa, I'm questioning stuff. And there was a trail out of town. And then Kalen DeBoer got hired a few days later. And then the staff sort of came together. And then he started true loving who he needed to. And I'm going to tell you by one measuring stick, that's all it is. One very important and old-style measuring stick, recruiting high school kids in-state. Kalen DeBoer, this is the best news I could give you on March 12th. His relationship's off the chart, and that is against the backdrop of keeping the guy on each side of the ball, but then bringing in his staff. You got to do what you got to do. You need a relationship. You need at least one person to hold over. To tell you, this kid's a turd, this kid's not, this kid's a leader, go watch out for his dad. You know, you need somebody, don't ask her to make copies, that's a bad idea. Just, you need somebody to lay of the land. And so, he had a guy on each side of the ball. That's good for player relation, all this other stuff. But the rest of it is his vision, and then even after part of his vision went to Seattle, he's like, no, my vision. And Ryan Williams, the five-star who reclassified, and then decommitted. He recommitted. He's like, yeah, I'm back on board. If you have not seen, and that's for this class, like right now, Ryan Williams. In addition to athlete, and I don't know how we're going to, I don't know where he's going to play. But Alabama got a commitment. They had their big event for next year. And they got another commitment since Saturday. There's kid athlete Zamir Smith, who's way down at 109 in the ESPN 300. And he committed. And he's now, again, I don't know what position he's going to play. Great looking kid. Four-star athlete is what he's listed as. 6 foot, 175. He's very bendy and willowy and very swift looking. So he'll do something. They now have, but he's the kid from Maryland. When I'm talking in-state, four-star athlete Derek Smith. All right. He's a top 30 prospect in America, and he's a bigger kid and a thicker kid and a faster. Like, this is all, this is a big, big, big deal. Third best athlete in the entire class. Highest ranked prospect is committed to Crimson Tide for the following class, 2025. He was there for Alabama's junior day about a month ago. He's been to Auburn. He's been to Florida State, blah, blah, blah. Now he's committed again. Selma, an in-state kid, big, big, big catch, which we've seen when it doesn't go that way. Pause, Harsin. Rest assured, the best news I can give you on a recruiting front on March 12th for a Bama fan base kind of needs a little something opposite than a body blow. Your head coach, with almost his entire vision and his staff, your new coach has come in and built relationships and it's showing. So got to bring home the commitments and get signatures and all that, but it's the best thing you can get in the middle of March. All right, we're going to break, come back, jump into it next.
Always college football team in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
He's got great self-awareness. He's got great toughness. He's an incredible competitor. No matter what happens, Jackson's got a unique quality where he just doesn't flinch. But he takes great ownership. He's very accountable to himself and his play.
That's Brent Venables. He's the OU head coach, and he is talking about his new starting quarterback, Jackson Arnold. He was a big five-star. And trying to get the number, and I'm going to get this wrong, but I think he was like the third highest-ranked quarterback coming out of high school two cycles ago. And so he's going to be a starter this year, and that's what that is. It was Caleb Williams, and then it was Dylan Gabriel, and now Dylan Gabriel has moved on. And he's got one more stop, UCF, OU, Oregon, I think. David, Oregon for Dylan Gabriel?
Let me double check on that.
I think that's right. David's going to check on that. So Chuck Oliver's show continues on this Tuesday. He's talking about his starting quarterback, Jackson Arnold, for the coming season. And that's all well and good, and they'll figure that out. He's got an improving group of wide receivers. They had fallen off. An improving group of wide receivers. And some other weapons, whatever. But the comment about Jackson Arnold and where he is, I have full faith in the production coming from the quarterback. Big change for me that I need to see is on the lines of scrimmage. And what'd you say, David?
Dylan Gabriel is at Oregon, yes.
Yay! So the big change I need to see is on the lines of scrimmage. And it's a change, I'm going to say a return. Oklahoma is in a spot where they need to get their lines of scrimmage ready for the Southeastern Conference. Texas is ready. OU is in a place where they need to get their lines of scrimmage ready for the Southeastern Conference. They would have been ready if somehow they would have been airlifted over to the SEC West, I don't know, like 5 years ago, maybe it seems. Maybe 4 years ago. If you go back and look at Oklahoma and the type of linemen they were putting in the league, and that's just a measuring stick. I mean, like Phil Loewenholt, yeah, give me some of that. Do y'all remember Tommy Harris? Do you remember Gerald McCoy? Trent Williams? Big, mean, monster, square, impossible to move, or he's about to move you. Linemen who, like, your hands are full, buddy. And I didn't say anything about any of their Heisman finalist quarterbacks. I didn't say anything about their first or second round wide receivers or running backs. Joe Mixon, who turned into a Pro Bowler with the Cincinnati Bengals, despite his off-field background, he's a second-round pick. You know why? He's an unbelievable player. Sterling Shepard. Did Giants fans get what they wanted from Sterling Shepard? I don't know. He put numbers up. And he's been hurt and older and whatever. You know what Sterling Shepard has turned into as a pro? Really good wide receiver. Productive guy for more than a minute. You know what he was at Oklahoma? Unbelievable. Uncoverable. And so they had all the shiny. They had Baker Mayfield, his first overall pick. And Kyler Murray, same sort of thing. They dropped him in, set records. Sam Bradford had done this. I mean, but they had all those things. And they will still see those players at some of those positions. Like Marvin Mims, I like him, I think. They still see some of that. CeeDee Lamb, you know, big giant guy who's in the NFL, and it looks like a mismatch sometimes. Do you know what you don't see nearly as much of? The linemen. First, second round, offensive and defensive linemen. It's the number one thing he's got to get ready for the SEC. So it's great that he is talking about Jackson Arnold. That's going to be the tone setter, and that's the equalizer. That's how you overcome anything that's not up to snuff. But that is the point, is that Oklahoma on the lines of scrimmage, where if you would have gone back, I mean, I don't know, Orlando Brown, guess what? That plays. That's not who you have anymore. Tommy Harris, that plays. Ask Florida. That's not where that program is. It's just nowhere close to Gerald McCoy. So if you get back to where you were, oh, yeah, I'm looking at you, Lincoln Riley. If you get back to where you were, both lines of scrimmage, and you can because it's Oklahoma. All right, you're SEC ready, because everything else, like I said, I didn't want to gloss over the knee. We're going to talk actually in an hour or two. We've got our good friend Tyler McComas coming up to talk OU. So, yeah, I've got everything about the wide receivers and Jackson Arnold and his development and how they're going to sort out running back and everything. Got all of that stuff. I want to know about the lines of scrimmage, because they used to be SEC ready. Texas is. OU used to be. And it has been a minute, and that has been the number one reason for their fall off in play.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
No new deal. Suddenly life's fair. No. You can be an absolute qualified pro doing exactly what you're supposed to on the road, and it just is not going to work out. Jeff Schmetting, pretty good coach by all my understandings. He's DC at the Palouse. And he was at Auburn as a defensive coordinator, been a linebackers coach. And before that, he had been at Eastern Washington and then Boise. And Brian Harsin hired him. And I'm going to tell you that, again, by every measuring stick, Jeff Schmetting knows what he's doing. He's a good coach. Pretty good guy. When you walk into Arab High School, and someone looks at you and says, well, it's Arab, and how can I help you? Oh, well, I'm here to recruit your four-star quarterback. Yeah, that's done. That's not happening. Good coach. It was never going to work. And so that's just kind of what you got to deal with. Somehow in Tuscaloosa, boy, he cracked that code. Kept two guys who knew the back roads and, you know, don't need a rental car. Everybody else is his vision, and it is working. They got another commitment from over the week. They had two over the weekend from four stars, but one of them's an in-state kid that is just a big, big deal from Selma. So we're going to talk a lot of things. I want to welcome on right now the man who knows all about coaching and hiring, how to do that, from CFB Matrix. It's Dave Bartu. Dave, welcome. How's your Tuesday?
Brother Chuck, my Tuesday is great. It is championship week for men's college basketball, and I love it. I really do. This is the next couple of weeks are just, it's almost like vacation downtime for me, because right now, pretty big lull. You got college football, coaching carousel is done, at least for me. NFL, it's pretty much done. And their focus is 99.99% back on the draft. Yep. Free agents, et cetera, right? So it is, I am as relaxed on a Tuesday morning as you can get right now.
You know, the thing I will – now, we're going to talk college football and players and draft and coaches and all this, but by college basketball, the thing I love particularly about conference tournaments is you can have a team that just had a tough season, and they're like 3-15 in conference. They win their first game, and they look at the bracket and go, we might get on a run. And I think so many sports fans, so many people listening, we all lived a moment where we were like, wait a minute, we may have to play four games in 4 days. And you kind of get on that sort of run, and you see that happen in conference tournaments. It doesn't last long through the NCAA most times. You can get to a Sweet 16 round. But conference basketball tournaments, for college basketball conference tournaments, I absolutely agree with you on that idea of a team that just had a tough, like, 4 months. They can get on a run where they got to win 4 or 5 in a day, in 4 or 5 days, and that's pretty cool.
It is. It's an opportunity, right? I mean, it's – and so you don't see it very often. You know, the reason I think people gravitate to it is because, well, you got 362 teams. Of course you are going to get upsets and weird stuff happening when it's a numbers game. And then it'll be glorified as, yep, this is how it usually happens. But I think that's the thing that most intrigues me is I'm sitting here modeling these games. I'm looking at all their efficiencies from 3, from 2, the free throw line, offense and defense. And then it's like, okay, who's going to go on a run? Right. Who's the team that I'm looking at these numbers going, dude, there is no way they're going to win a game. Wow. They just blew that team out. Holy moly. They're in the semis. Dang. They're in the East Tennessee. Right. This week, East Tennessee went on you look at their numbers at the beginning of the week, and I'm like, this team's going to get beat. And then they won big, and then they won again. And then they got hot, and the rim had to look big, and they almost did it. You know, hats off to them. So I think it's fun.
Can I give you two programs and you give me a flyover of where they exist right now for their postseason run chances?
In my mentals and in terms of just my quick point of view. Now, understand, my modeling is very simple.
Absolutely.
It's very simple. Very,
Absolutely.
Very simple. But I will give you I will give you the same breakdown as I give a AD, because I get, you know, some of my ADs will call and go, hey, I know you do basketball a little bit on the side, right? What's your opinion on my team? So what do you got, Chuck? What do you got? Hit me with
that. Give me just a 15, 20-second flyover for Mizzou and for Georgia Tech. They're not good. They're not good.
No. Okay. So, and now keep in mind, this is what I see in the numbers. Now, Georgia Tech plays Notre Dame, and it tips in like 2 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
So on the road this year, see, I throw out all the home game stuff. Because to me, this is neutral. You're not at home anymore. And there's no bigger disparity in home versus road than in men's college basketball. It's about a 13% disparity in scoring efficiency. Now, Notre Dame on the road this year, 87th in road scoring efficiency defense. That is really good. Georgia Tech, 273. Nice. Right? That makes you cringe. But Notre Dame on the road, their offensive scoring efficiency is 343rd, Chuck.
Snap.
There's only 362 teams. This Notre Dame team on the road is very good defensively and is absolute trash on offense, okay? So I got this game. When you kind of do out the numbers, right, Georgia Tech, I would say their strength, they defend the 3 very well. They defend 2 very well. They give up way too many free throws. They don't generate enough free throws. They're actually pretty good on the road from shooting from three. So in this game, Georgia Tech is a 1.5-point dog. I have Georgia Tech 70.2, Notre Dame 69.7. I think Georgia Tech is going to pull off the upset, and it's going to be attributed to efficiency guarding the three and shooting the three today.
How about that? Fantastic. Yeah, Missouri, I was talking to them yesterday. They were 0 for 18 in the SEC in the conference this year, and they can't be that bad. They can't.
No, they're not. Who are they playing? Who's their opening round game? Do they have one? or are they so bad they don't get a game?
They allowed them to play. They did. I will find that right now.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, let's move on. In fact, I tell you what, we will come back and pick up the Mizzou basketball thing. Pick it up with Jeff Schmetting. I was talking about him as the DC at Washington State right now as an example of, look at his resume, got results. He was boys with Harsin. He got on the staff. He needed a DC after Derek Mason was like, middle finger. And I'm sure it's a drop-off from Derek Mason, I would guess, but I said, this is not a Jeff Schmetting thing. Jeff Schmetting is from, Idaho somewhere, and he had coached at Boise and Eastern Washington. I was like, this was never, ever going to work. Just give me a flyover of what Jeff Schmetting was and what he is now at Washington State.
That whole ball of wax was rough. I mean, that was a good OCDC combination, in my opinion. Mason and Bobo. I thought that was an excellent hire. And Mason, with all of his defensive experience and recruiting experience in the SEC.
But they couldn't get along. Nobody got along with Harsin.
Yeah, I guess not, right? And so you have a 4.5-star DC in Derek Mason, and you replace it with a mid-level guy. I mean, Schmetting is just middle of the road. If not below average. So, but in my opinion, on paper, there was a massive drop off from just on the field coaching from Mason to Schmetting, right? No. And then you lost Bobo, then you had another drop off, and everything did. I mean, the wheels just fell apart so quickly there. But, you know, like you said, you know, Schmetting, fish out of water in the Southeast, got thrust into a position that, you know, I'm sure he didn't want either, but he's got to make do with what's there.
And by the way, I just looked on a list of names. There are like five or six other guys that are all perfectly good coaches that you remember from that staff and go, yeah, it was never, ever going. I think Brian Harsin's a good coach. It was never, ever going to work. I want to ask you then, go across state to Tuscaloosa, because he kept, Gillespie and Roach. So those are guys who know all the coaches and they've been in every high school. Talk about the rest of that staff, because they have not stumbled. They have not stubbed a toe. They actually got a big 5-star in-state from one of the first things after DeBoer got hired. And even after losing Grubb, they got another commitment over the weekend. Like, they're rolling in-state. Talk about the other guys on the staff, Gillespie and Roach. Talk about the other guys and their reputation as recruiters.
Well, there's three things that I want to try to touch on as it relates. And this isn't just an Alabama thing. This can be any program, okay? But let's start with the Alabama thing. I've heard a lot about the concerns of, can they recruit? Well, shoot, man, nobody's going to out-recruit Nick Saban. I mean, there's no argument he's the best recruiter of all time, right? The guy closed everything. He turned around LSU. He turned around Alabama. So my question is, with the Alabama staff, do we have a closer on the staff? If you're not confident it's Kalen DeBoer, okay, is there a guy on there? Now, Shepard is an excellent recruiter and an excellent closer. I think that's a big reason why he's the associate head coach there at Alabama, is simply because I think one of his key jobs is going to be closing on these kids. So with that in mind, we don't do a whole lot trying to grade actual coaches on their recruiting, because it's very difficult, right? You see all these grades that are out there, and like, well, this guy was recruiter of the year at Georgia. It's Georgia, right? I mean, shouldn't the recruiter of the year be, you know, a good example was a Sean Becton when he was at UCF. The guys he recruited relative to the rest of the classes, there was such a huge gap. He was just a monster recruiter. So it's hard to gauge individual recruiting in a program. And if you look at the numbers, usually over time, no matter who's there, the recruiting doesn't change a whole lot. Unless there was something cataclysmic that happened that changed the entire program perception. Alabama has been a top 10 recruiter for a long time. I don't expect that to change, whether it was this staff or another staff. Programs recruit themselves. And the third point is, with free agency, how much is it about relationships with the player versus relationships with the agents and how much money you can pay? Right. I can't answer that question, but that's a lingering one. Is everybody asks me about recruiting and relationships, and it's like, well, if this agent is going to take his kid over here for $600 and you only pay $550, but you got the best relationship, you're not getting that deal. Agent's going to push him over there to make more money.
That is an absolute wicked code to crack. I mean, to figure out how, like, the exact settings on the differences, you're right, to and I'm saying to attribute credit, quote, credit as the recruiter of the year, it's getting more difficult to do that. And by the way, before we take a break, don't sleep on the job Nick did at Toledo. Remember, took over a 500 team, won the conference championship the next year back in 1990. So, I mean, Nick Saban, his way always work. You said LSU and even Michigan State. So we're going to take a quick break, come back with a guy from College Football Matrix, tell you all about that. That's next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The king of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week all year, it's all college football and Chuck Oliver Show. Tuesday, we always talk Dave Bartu. He is College Football Matrix, and he's got a better mousetrap, man. I texted him a question. I was like, hey, I want to ask you about recruiters at Alabama and blah, blah, beyond just Roach and Gillespie. And so Dave gets on the air. He's like, I don't really grade them that way. It's not as easy as most people, you know, recruiter of the year. He says, Chuck, it's not that easy. Brian Niedermeyer, National Recruiter of the Year by 247 Sports and by ESPN in 2019. There's like five places that will declare something like this. Two of them said that guy. We found out later he was given McDonald's bags full of cash. Like, I mean, straight stacks. And this was not after July 1st, 2021. So Dave's like, Chuck, it's not as easy as most services will tell you. Recruiter of the year. Yes, there's a lot of layers to it. I want to welcome back on from CFB Matrix. Dave, welcome. Tell everybody what CFB Matrix does.
Oh, we tell stories with numbers, man. We help staff, college football and NFL on-field, off-field staffing. That's the main thing. And then obviously me personally, it's always about numbers. Even dabbling in the dark arts of projecting men's college basketball outcomes.
Such as Missouri playing Georgia later tonight, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Do you want me to break down the whole SEC tournament in 30 seconds?
Do it. Auburn win?
Yeah, Auburn's the best team on paper. Auburn is, they're better. So the final four, though, in the SEC, no surprise, should be Auburn, should be Tennessee, Kentucky. I got Florida over Alabama. Alabama on the road this year, 361st in road scoring efficiency defense. Now, they have the best road offense in the SEC, but teams like that, kind of like the Lincoln Riley, let's just try to outscore them. I think you're susceptible, right? So, because you have to shoot great every night. And if the offense doesn't travel consistently, the defense is going to finally catch up to you. So I think the one upset I'm going to call is Florida over Alabama into that final four. Then it'll be chalk. Kentucky, Auburn. I think one of the best teams nobody is talking about is 9-seed Mississippi State. Unfortunately, they get LSU. I believe they're going to win that game. And they'll face Tennessee, who is excellent on the road as well. So, and back to your Missouri and Georgia, I have this as a half a point game, man. This can go either way in this one. I think it's going to be a very offensive game. Missouri is 93rd in road scoring efficiency. Georgia's 97th. I'd look for this thing to be over 150 and to be a one-point ball game in the end.
I hope your wife finds intelligence sexy. I really do. All right. Let's talk about Brent Venables and his staff at OU, because before you'd come on, I was just kind of bouncing around with the OU program and saying they used to have NFL talent on the lines of, or excuse me, SEC talent on the lines of scrimmage. He talked about, you know, remaking the roster and getting it SEC ready and all this. I'm like, they were. And then I think my opinion, what happened is Lincoln Riley happened. But if you go back to the Stoops era, they were putting monsters in the NFL on both lines, and that thing came to an end over the last few drafts. That's job one to me. That's my opinion, but just talk about the coaches and staff that he has, because Roof's out and he's made changes, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, Roof's out, and Jeff's now at Mississippi State, and you got a new offensive coordinator who has a very good grade for his career. My concern with the offensive coordinator, it is extraordinarily pass heavy. It's running the ball is almost secondary. And I don't know how that's going to float in the SEC, man. Not being able to, not having an offense that can really run the football. And it's just so pass heavy. Good luck with that in the new SEC. I think my biggest question with Oklahoma is, look, they have been the number one, number two recruiter in the Big 12 for their lifetime, right? And now they're going into a new conference where they are, what, the fifth best recruiter? I mean, they're behind Alabama, they're behind Georgia, they're behind LSU.
Texas.
Right, they're behind Texas right now. You know, now there was a big watershed moment. If you go back to 2000, so look at this, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004. Their average recruiting class was 4.5.
Whew, Stoops!
Right? It was smoking. Remember when there wasn't a lot made of it, but there was something significant made of the used car, the car lot, and paying all the players.
Oh, was it Rhett Boehm? He was a quarterback who had a job at a used car dealership.
Right, and their recruiting immediately tanked when that was shut off. It went for, look at this. It went 4-4-7.
It was like
06-07-ish. It was exactly 2006.
Snap!
Because 2007, they dropped a 24 class.
Dave!
They've never recovered.
When you couldn't go to the car dealership and like get – there was a movie back in the day, I'm going to date myself, maybe you saw it, it was called One-on-One, Robbie Benson.
Yeah.
And he had a job watching the sprinklers work at the football field. And that's kind of what you got when you were on scholarship. And Rhett Boehm, like apparently – He actually showed up one day at the dealership, and they're like, "Dude, leave everybody," because now they're expecting you to be here. And he got busted.
I think it was bigger than they let on, because they dropped a 24, and from 2008 on, they've never been in the top five again. They were annually in the top five. They were LSU recruiting up until that car dealership, and it's never come back. 11, 11, 13, 14, 11. They've dropped some sevens, some eights, some sixes. You know, they're number nine overall high school recruiting heading into this year, but it's not where it was. And now that they're in the SEC, I wonder if they're going to be able to maintain that with so many bigger recruiters above them. So I expect them to be there. I expect, Oklahoma to recruit in that A&M, Auburn range. But, you know, their obvious talent advantage they've had over the last forever is gone.
Oh, and I was mentioning specifically, it's funny because before you came on, I was like, you know, why did Tommy Harris and Gerald McCoy stop showing up on the OU roster?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go back and look, like, they had not just, like, kind of good guys or kind of, you know, good draft picks. They had first defensive player off the board sort of defensive tackles. And, I mean, the gate came down on that. All right, we got, like, 30 seconds. Tell everybody how to get in touch with Dave, whoever it is, a head coach in the SEC or a fan. Doesn't matter.
Well, always you can DM me on Twitter. It's always wide open. But if you want to hit the text line, 971-217-8419. I get a lot of questions from listeners right now, and I'll try to get back to each and every one of you.
All right, and see Dave on Twitter, as he said, because you can link through his products, and if you got creaky shoulders and hips and all that, he can take care of you as well. Dave, I appreciate you, friend.
Thank you, brother.
Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. It is so funny. those dates literally overlap, and then about there's always a 2-year lag, and there's usually a hard drop in on-field production after there's a drop in recruiting. Now, that's when you could look and see a predictable 3 or 4 year cycle for keeping a kid there. It's not a predictable cycle like that anymore, but in the case of Oklahoma, it's absolutely how it all unfolded.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.